Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's great to see you guys here, whether you're joining us online or whether you're in person with us this morning, as we are here at this Christmas Sunday. I always call it Christmas Sunday. It's the one before Christmas. I tend to celebrate way into November. I'm one of those crazy lunatics like that, but I tend to celebrate long after Christmas Sunday as well. There's just something about the joy of the season. And in that joy, we do have a wonderful special presentation from Spencer, who's going to give us an update on the great things he's doing. So if you would, guys, just thank him as he comes up. Give him
thanks, Spencer,
for what you're doing. We as the church don't need to see the immediate fruit because we know the fruit's happening. So we appreciate, though, when you do come, give us a little insight to what's going on, exciting the church here for the amazing gospel work that's going on there. That's fantastic. And by the way, speak as long as you want. Get me out of a sermon once in a while. It's great. And for me, it doesn't matter how long you talk because I'm going to talk as long as I want. So these folks out here may not appreciate it, but that's the way the Holy Spirit works. Go back to those old days. Y'all have it. Sometimes we in America have a tough time in like a place like Africa or China. Because they preach for like 10 hours straight, all right? And they just bring in food, all right? They're just already ready. They pack their lunch, okay? So, you know, we in America, sometimes we get a hard time with an hour and a half. And we're like, pot roast is on. I got to get to it, or what have you. But, you know, it's a great thing when we get to hear from folks that are out doing the ministry. They're out doing the great things in this world that aren't necessarily right here. And I'm glad that we can support those things because that's exactly what Christmas is surrounding. That's why Jesus came. That's why he came and he was born into the flesh. He came because we needed a Savior. And so when Spencer's doing it out there with the kids in the college or you're doing it with your neighbor or we're down there at the coffee shop talking or you're talking to your coworkers or I'm preaching it from up here, we're all doing the same work and it's a great work and it's exactly what the Christmas season is all about. And so this morning, I just want to say Merry Christmas. Thank you. It's some folks are struggling with the merry part of Christmas this year. Maybe they can't see their families. Maybe they have had to stay home. Or maybe you guys are watching online, really wanted to be here, but you just couldn't be here. And I understand that, and I'm okay. And I want you to know, though, that no matter what, Jesus came for all people. When salvation came at Christmas, it came to all people. And I want you to hear that this morning because there's a lot of folks out there who need that joy this season. There's a lot of folks out there that need the message that Jesus came for them, specifically for them. That Jesus came for each person in this world to bring joy back into your heart, no matter what is going on in your life. Because I know some folks out there don't feel good enough. Some folks don't feel blessed enough. Some folks don't feel rich enough. Some folks don't feel poor enough. Some folks just don't know about it. And I'm here to tell you that God came in the flesh and died for all people. John 3:17. Exactly what you said this morning. See, we don't plan these things. They just happen. That's the Holy Spirit working. And I want you to hear this because it's so important to the rest of what we're going to talk about this morning. And it says this in John 3:17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Notice how he says this. You know, if we go back into the Old Testament, if you go back into there in the readings, it says, "And he will save Israel, and Israel will be saved through him, and he comes for Israel, and Israel becomes this very special family for God, and they're the chosen people." And then yet, here comes this new covenant in Jesus Christ, and here's this new message. You have to hear it from the position of the Jew. This is a crazy thing to hear, because Jesus, the Son of God, did not come just to save Israel, but he came to save the whole world. No one is excluded from the message of God. Let's go to the Lord and ask for some wisdom on this. Father, as we open the Word and we begin to reveal the rest of the story here of that Christmas night and how you came and these wonderful things going on and these great stories from history of these different responses to you, I just ask that you would open our hearts to much wisdom. That our flesh would be put aside, that our minds would be solely focused on you. That we'd bring ourselves to center on Christ Jesus, the one who has saved us from our sins. Let us be forever changed by the message to look not so much like me anymore, but more like you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I sent out a text message this week. And in my text message, I was shooting out for the leadership. And I kind of did a faux pas, and I sent one of the text messages out to the wrong Chris. All right, y'all, you got too many Chris's in this church, all right? Some of y'all might have to move, all right? I just got too many Chris's in my phone book now. And I sent it out to the wrong Chris, so Chris, you probably didn't get the text till later. And another Chris, Chris Bryan, got the message, and he's like, I'm not sure this was for me. And I said, no. And all of a sudden, I feel bad because now I feel like Chris Bryan got excluded from this great thing we had going on. And no, the message wasn't really for him. But then I was like, he says, I didn't see the email. I didn't know if that was for me or not. And so I went in and I typed an email. And I said, here's your email. God bless you. And I sent him an email. It never feels good to feel excluded, does it? For so much time in history, it's been that way. We had to come and we had to be a part of Israel. See, people were never excluded from the message of God. You just had to come and be like Israel. You had to accept the law. You had to be circumcised if you were a male. If you were a female, you had to take off all your adornments. You couldn't look a certain way. You had to look just like the Jewish women looked. You had to accept all of these things coming in because it was a part of the law. But I'm here to tell you that there's this great new covenant that came through Jesus Christ. This covenant of salvation for the world. Because for too long, we took that law and we imposed it on people as this control upon their lives. See, the law was never a bad thing. It's what people did with it that made it a bad thing. And so Jesus Christ came and he says, look, I'm here to fulfill the law so that you no longer have to have this imposed in your life. So that you no longer have to do these things by the road of the law for the simple sake of man having control over another man. He says, no, I've come to bring you freedom from the law because I'm going to die to fulfill the law. That if you would accept my blessing, you would no longer be placed underneath that curse, but would be free from it. And so we see this great message come to all people. First, to the rich. It came in Matthew 2. If you want to turn over there, Matthew 2, we're going to kind of be, again, between Matthew 2 and Luke 2. So Matthew 2, and we're going to begin in verse 3. And this is King Herod, and the message is coming. So we look at Matthew 2 and verse 3, and there's some stuff missing. That's okay. We're going to get to that here in a second. We'll kind of come back. But in verse 3, it says, when King Herod heard this, meaning that the wise men had come and had told him the Savior is here and he's going to be born. And so when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. And all of Jerusalem with him. Funny thing that they would be disturbed at the message of the Savior. Verse 4, when he had called together all of the people, the chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who is who will shepherd my people, Israel. And then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go worship him. Oh boy, it sounds pretty good at the beginning, doesn't it? Except for we go back and we hear that word, he was disturbed. He was disturbed at the message that salvation had come to the earth. See, you have to understand that King Herod was very wealthy. He was very powerful. He had control over the people. He had control over the people not only through himself and his own decrees, but he had control over the people because the king and the high priest were usually buddies up at the top there. And so he had control over the people through the temple, and he had control over the people through the throne. And so here's this man with all this power and all this authority, and here comes the good news. See, we call it good news. Why? Because we're going to be saved from our sins. See, the great thing about being now is you got a lot of hindsight. But if you put yourself in his place, here's this person who's come, who was prophesied about, and now it's time for him to be here, and this great news is given to the king. And he would know this news, 2 Samuel 7. Verses 12 and 13. And when your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will rise up for you offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. And it's talking about Jesus here. And he is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. See, this wasn't a surprise. It was only a surprise in the time that it would come. And so this should be an exciting time for them. If we look at Jeremiah 2, or 23, verse 5 and 6. And the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will rise up David, a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. This is not a surprise to him. This is the king who has been prophesied over. The problem with being a king and another king is prophesied, guess what? You got to give up your kingliness. You got to let go all your power and authority. You got to let all your riches go. You got to now bow down to somebody when you're not used to bowing down. And we know that King Herod was not one who would bow down to the Lord. We find that out here in a few verses. King Herod was not a righteous man. He was a man of wickedness who wanted to hold on to his power, and so he rejected these things. Matthew 19, verse 23 through 26. And then Jesus, that's the wrong verse. Whoa, I'm going to go back. Sorry. Here it is in Matthew 2. And it comes down to the end. And this is as the angel comes to Joseph and he says, hey, look, you got to get out of here. In verse 13, it goes into 14. So he got up and he took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he had stayed until the death of Herod. And so it was fulfilled what the Lord had said through his prophet, out of Egypt I will call my son. Because what you have to realize is Herod went in there and he killed all of the firstborn of Israel. Sounds kind of familiar if you go back to the story of Moses, and Pharaoh did the same thing, trying to get rid of the savior of the people. He went in and destroyed all the firstborn of Israel. Here it is again in history repeating itself, because Herod had rejected these things. He had said, look, I don't want any part of that. I want that to be gone, and I don't want to have anything to do with that. And so he kills the firstborn of Israel. See, it's hard for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now we're to Matthew 19, verse 23 through 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I tell you, it is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Look at what he's saying here. Look at what the disciples are saying. There's something we breeze over sometimes because we know the story so well, and it's all about these rich people trying to get in heaven. But look what they said. They said, if the rich can't get into heaven, what do the rest of us stand a chance to do? See, Jesus didn't come for just the rich. This was a great message because they're saying, hey, look, this message is not just for the who's who anymore. It's not just for the high priest. It's not just for the king. It's not just for the prophets. This is going to be for everybody. This was a new message, y'all. This is why it was good news, because this was news for all people. from all places, of all backgrounds, whether rich or poor. See, it doesn't say the rich won't make it into heaven. Look, I know some pretty godly rich people. And they give everything. They give of their time and their talents and their treasures. And they give like I've never seen before. I know some pretty righteous, rich people who are going to be standing in heaven with me. But it's hard because God's going to call you to be all in. Whether you're rich or poor, He's going to call you to be all in. And that may mean you giving up your riches. Go back to the rich young ruler. Remember what God told him? Go sell everything you got and give it to the poor. And he went away. What? Sad. For he had great wealth. He said the message is going to be hard for you whether you're rich or poor, because you're going to have to give up yourself in all of this. You're no longer going to be able to be the person you were when you come to the good news of Jesus Christ. You've got to come to the person that God is making you to be. That's the great news, because you know what? I wasn't doing so good being me. How many of us looked in the mirror before we come to Christ? And some of you come to Christ when you're little, and so maybe you looked in the mirror when you already came to Christ. He said, I don't like who I see. We come to Christ because we want to be different. We want to be saved. We want to live a righteous life. We want to do just things. So we have to be willing to accept this salvation. Matthew 16, verse 24 and 25. Then Jesus says to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. See, Herod was unwilling. Herod was unwilling. Matthew 2, verse 16, that's the verse I wanted you to see. Then when Herod had saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became enraged, and he sent and he slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all of its vicinities from 2 years old and under, according to the time which had been determined by the Magi. So here is this salvation that came at Christmas through Jesus Christ, and here is this rich man who blew it off. He had no power or authority over Jesus. It wasn't like he was going to get to Jesus. If he'd even had an inkling of the fear that he should have had for the Lord, he ought not be chasing down his son to kill him. I don't know about you, but that seems like a really bad idea. I don't know who's whispering in Herod's ear, but man, if I'm after that, I'm firing my advisors, okay? If that's what my guy, hey, look, man, we can do like they did in Egypt. We can just kill everybody. God's son, y'all. That's a pretty big deal. I don't know. That's a big decision to have to make, to go and murder God's son. But that's what happens when it is the unrighteous who rule, when it is those who are not in Christ Jesus who rule. And we as Christians better be prepared for that, because there's a time coming when we will be ruled by the unrighteous, we'll be ruled by the unholy, and they will come for us. But I'm here to tell you that there is a salvation if you just hold on. If you just hold on. And we see this in the poor. See, Christ didn't just come to the rich, he came to the poor. Matter of fact, he came to the poor first. He came to the shepherds. Luke 2, verses 8 through 20 is where I want to go with this one. This is the story of the shepherds and how they received the message. And it says this, and there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord had appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy." For who? For all the people. For today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you that you will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, All of us. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, man, I'm going to tell you, there's so much good stuff in here. I want to get to it all, but I don't want you to hear the three. So I'm going to hit it quick. The glory to God in the highest heaven on earth. Peace to those who are his favorite. These are the shepherds. I'm telling y'all, there's the angels, a chorus of angels singing before them. You get to be the audience. God chose these men out here in this field, and they're singing to them. This is God's people singing to them. See, the angel singing was reserved for God, and yet now here's these angels singing to them. The lowest of the low. Holy mackerel. I want some of that, Lord. I don't want to be terrified, but I wouldn't mind some angels singing. And when the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, so let's continue to hang out here. Maybe Jesus will show up. No, they said this. They said, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at the shepherds had told them. Now look, that's an overused word in our language, amazed. I've been amazed, and then I've been blown away. All right, I think for us in this current vernacular, I don't know if amazed. Look, I seen somebody shot like one of those half court free throw shots and makes it for $1 million. Oh, that's amazing. I don't know about you, but angels singing to me is a little bit higher than that, okay? I'm not amazed any longer by half-court shots. No, I'm blown away. See, that's what we got to be. We got to be blown away by this message that God has given to us. And they were blown away because everything that had been said to them was true. But Mary treasured all these things in her heart and pondered them. And the shepherds returned, what? Glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Whew, shepherds, y'all. These are some smelly people. You would be too if you hung out with sheep all day. Okay? Hang out in the dirt. Ain't like farming today. Okay? And ranching today. I got a buddy who ranches out in southwest Kansas. He got cattle. Okay, he gets to go home and he gets to go into his house and he takes a shower and he gets all cleaned up before he goes to bed at night. Okay, it wasn't like that. Best they got is they go down the stream and take a couple dunks in the water. That's about all they got. All right, they don't got the ivory soap, right? The nice Suave soap, the men's wash, right? They didn't have the men's body wash. All right, they didn't have that, what was that called? Swagger from Old Spice. They didn't have any of that. So when they showed up to town, people were like, ugh, shepherds. We're going to go hang out over here. They weren't welcome in many places, in many markets, because of just their sheer appearance and the way they were. I'm telling you, they were the lowliest of the low. And yet, this is who the angels sang to. For 1 John 2:2, I love what it says here. He, meaning Jesus, is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. See, Jesus came for King Herod the same as he came for the shepherds. It wasn't just for the rich and powerful anymore. This was a God for every man. And how do they know this? How did he speak to the shepherds? Okay, first of all, he got to sing by angels. That was awesome, right? Right? Now let me go see what's happening. And they left and they went to go see if this thing was true. And they showed up in Bethlehem and they come to the place where the child was. And they see him where? They saw him in the big castle on the hill, right? Hanging out with the king. No, they found him hanging out with the sheep. Like, damn. They never heard of nothing like this before. Sure, King David, he was a shepherd, but he got to go live as a king. Here's this king born as a shepherd. He was not only born as a shepherd, he was born as a sheep. He was born as an animal and laid in a manger. That's where they found him. Just like them. What an amazing thing God has done for us. For all those who love him, Luke 2, verse 10, 11, look what it said. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. I remember a guy in my first ministry in Missouri. Pretty awesome dude. Had some struggles in life. We called him Jesus because he come in with the long hair and he, I'm gonna tell you, he wasn't a clean guy. They were struggling in life. They were living in a house, barely making things by, and house has got holes in it. He's got his kids there with him, and I remember the first time I met him, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, this guy comes to church with us. That's awesome. That's awesome that he would feel comfortable enough. I noticed, though, that they always sat in the front. And I asked him one time, I said, hey, why do you like sitting in the front? He says, that way I don't have to look at the people looking at me behind me. He said, I've been in too many churches where I've been judged when I walked in because I don't have fancy clothes and I don't always get to take a shower. And I have a hard time providing clothes for my kids. And we don't come in with the best stuff. And he says, that's why I like to sit in front, because I don't have to worry about the judgment behind me. I just come to love on Jesus. I gave that guy a hug. Whoo, he touched my soul, y'all. He touched me down deep inside, because Jesus isn't for the clean. You're just for the clean. Look, he ain't for just the folks that got fancy houses, y'all. He's for everybody. And it was a lesson for me to learn. And I thought, shame on us, church, that he has to sit in the front so he is not judged. I'm going to tell you, shame on us that we didn't welcome him in from the beginning, that we weren't hugging him. And I could tell some people weren't just sitting close to him because, yeah, maybe he didn't smell the best. But I'm here to tell you, we got to break those barriers down, because Jesus came, and he came to the low, and he came to the shepherd, and he came to the smelly, and he came to everyone. He did not just come for the rich and the well-dressed. We've got to accept everyone as well. Because I'm here to tell you, folks, this place right here, this ain't a country club. This is a hospital. And we're going to have drug addicts in here, and we're going to have alcoholics in here, and we're going to have cheaters in here, and we're going to have liars in here, we're going to have murderers in here, and we're going to have every walk of life in here, along with the rest of us sinners. Praise and glory be to God. Amen. For the Lord came for all people, even the wise. Here we go. Here's the wise men back over here in Matthew. It says this in Matthew 2. We're going to pick up in verse 1. Then we're going to skip down, but I want to read this for you. In verse 1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who is to be born king of the Jews? You want to talk about a knife in old Herod's heart? There you go. We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. What a great thing they came to do. They came to worship that which they didn't even really know. And we pick it up in verse 9. And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On the coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him, and they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Wise men. Some versions call them magi. Some people would call them magicians. These would be the scientists of that time, those who studied astronomy, Those who would know not only astronomy, but they would associate astronomy with prophecy. See, the Jewish faith isn't the only one that had prophecies. There were many faiths out there, many religions that had prophecies that said this thing or that thing. And so here's this one, this Jewish one, like all the rest, had plenty of prophecies. And here it is, they come about and they see these signs and they're following the signs of this religion. And you got to imagine that there has been some great disappointment in their life. All right, all these prophecies, and they go, well, here's another one. Let's go see how wrong this one is, right? So they're going to check it out. And they followed all of the signs. Numbers 24, verse 17, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel, and he will crush the foreheads of Moab and the skulls of the people of Sheth. See, it's talking about Jesus here. Okay? It's the morning star. It's the one that come out of Jacob's line. And we see in Exodus 13, verse 21 and 22, by day the Lord went ahead of them with a pillar of cloud to guide them and on their way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light so they could travel by day or by night. Neither the pillar of cloud nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. So see, they're taking these different things that happened in the Jewish faith and they're bringing them together to understand that there would be this star that would guide them, for God guides the people to salvation. See, sometimes when we read through the books of the Bible, and we get focused in and we forget to take this broad view of the scripture. See, that's what these guys did, these magi. They would take this big, broad view and they say, okay, God leads his people. It's always by light. And there's always this thing that's always in front of them. So, and then they read this about the star. And the star will come. Okay, so there's going to be this star thing coming. Okay, and these are the signs. They go in, and trust me, you can go in and you can figure out the day and the time from the Old Testament of when Jesus was to come. It's almost by the minute of when they were supposed to show up. And here they are, and they showed it up. And guess what? They went to King Herod, and they said, hey, look, y'all got a Savior being born. What's up? And they're like, what? Right? Back in old school. What you talking about, Willis? Right? Remember that show? That's King Herod, right? What you talking about, Willis? He's like, look, there's a Savior. He's being born. Didn't you pay attention to the prophecies? It's time. Hey, where's he supposed to be born at? They're like, I don't know. Bethlehem? We heard something about that in some prophecy somewhere. Look, he's got to gather all these people for Israel. See, Israel's not waiting on the Savior at this point. There are some who are, but many of them are not waiting on the Savior at this point. They've just forgotten. See, it's been 400 years. It's been a long time. However, if they would have just paid attention, right? 400 years, they were in captivity in Egypt, right? All right, well, it's been 400 years again. Maybe something's going to happen. But they weren't waiting, especially not those who were in charge. But here it was, and it came to pass. And here's these magi who are Gentiles, by the way. These are not Jewish people. These are Gentiles who have come out of the East, and they are blessed through their obedience. They follow the times, they follow the prophecies, and they come to this. And we should not be surprised, for Luke 11, verse 28 tells us he replied, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. And they're blessed because they come upon this baby who has been prophesied. And not only they come upon it, there was some expectation, because guess what? They brought gifts. Now, I didn't know if they bought those in Jerusalem while they were there. Maybe they did. Maybe they said, oh, look, yeah, this thing's real. Maybe we ought to pick up some gifts. Maybe we should know them empty-handed. Most of us go over to our friend's house. We want to bring a little gift, bring some soda over when we come over for dinner or something, right? They're the same way. They don't want to show up. This is supposed to be the Savior of the world. Maybe we ought to bring some gifts. And they did. And they were obedient and they found this blessing. What an amazing thing. I had this young lady one time told me. She came in. It was after practice. She kind of sat in on the end of a worship set on a Wednesday. We used to have fun, just play some music on a Wednesday. And she was kind of came in at the end and was listening to the music. And she pulled me aside, went back to the back room, and me and one of the elders, and we were talking. And she's like, so what's up with this Bible thing? Why you follow it? I thought to myself, what an odd question. Most people would understand being a pastor, you follow it because that's what you do, and you believe in it, and there's great stuff that happened in it, and you know that it blesses your life. And so I just looked at her. I said, well, you know what? I really follow this thing because it's never let me down. Every time I do what it calls me to do, I find nothing but blessing in my life. I said, look, there was a time when I didn't do anything that it said. And that wasn't a great time in my life. One of the hardest times of my life I've ever had. I said, but I'll tell you this, when I do follow it, I find this great blessing comes over my life. And there's a peace that most people don't understand that fills my heart. And there's this great calm I get to walk through, not all the time. My flesh gets involved, my wife can tell you. I get a little out of sorts, I might get a little grumpy, right? Get a little fear kind of starts to creep in. Remember what I said about doubt last week? Nothing wrong with doubt. We just can't stay there. We got to come to truth. But when I do come to that truth, I'm here to tell you there's this blessing that washes over you. Look at what it says here in verse 10, 11. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Hey, look, finally one of these prophecies is real. That's how we know Christianity is the real deal, because it all came true. And on coming to the house, they saw the child and they bowed down and they worshiped him. See, they knew. And they were like, goodness sakes, one finally came true. This is the real deal, holy field. And so you got to ask yourself, how far are you willing to go? See, these guys traveled a long way. You know, a lot of times we get this depiction of the nativity on the night Jesus was born. And we see the baby Jesus. Most of us got a nativity set, right? See the baby Jesus. We got Mary. We got Joseph. Got some shepherds hanging out in the back somewhere. Got some cows, right? Or some sheep, maybe both, some camels. Then we get these wise men, right? Okay, so let's be honest. The wise men are going to take a little longer to get there than the Jesus night of birth, okay? So they come along a little bit later. A little bit later than the night of his birth. But I'm here to tell you, it's still in that time frame. It's that time frame of this great Christmas miracle that's happened, because they've got to travel so far. And here's the star that's guiding them. And I guarantee the star isn't just for the wise. It was for the poor. It was for the rich. It was for any who would come to him, who would be willing to travel no matter how long it took to get to salvation. Those who are willing to deny themselves and pick up the cross of Jesus Christ. Those who are willing to seek out and to experience the miracle in their lives. I'm here to tell you today, church, it doesn't matter where you're at in your life. It doesn't matter where you're at in your walk. It doesn't matter where you're at in your sin. It doesn't matter where you're at in your struggle. Jesus Christ wants you to look up at that star, and he wants you to follow it. He wants you to take the journey. He wants you to experience the salvation in your heart. He wants to drive you to the place of peace, because it's for everyone. It's for everyone. And some of you may be watching online today or in here this morning. You may say, well, I've just gone too far. Jesus said, there is no such thing as too far. He said, I died for the sins of the whole world. They say, but I'm just too dirty. Savior was born in a manger. There's no such thing as too dirty. But I'm just not good enough. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ was born to a carpenter and a pregnant woman out of wedlock. There's no such thing as not good enough for Jesus Christ. He's the one that makes us rich or poor. He's the one that makes us good enough. He is the one that brings us salvation. He is the one that justifies us before the Father. You are good enough. If you would just say yes and come to him, let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this Christmas season, for this time of beauty in which we celebrate the birth of the Savior. What a great reminder for us. What a great love and joy that we're reminded of at this time. What a great reminder that we were never good enough to begin with, whether rich or poor or wise or none of the above. It is wholly you who brings salvation and justification. so that it does not depend upon me, but only upon you. We're thankful for that because you are the one who is good enough. You are the one who can take away the sins of the people. You are the one who can bring us joy and peace everlasting, both in this life and the next. I pray you be upon the hearts of those today. And if they are part of yours, Lord God, if they are in the church, they are a saved believer, I pray that they would be overjoyed and they would bow down and worship as the wise men did, that they would be amazed and astonished as the shepherds were once again, that that reality of the Savior coming would be alive in their hearts today. And if they don't know you, Jesus, I pray that this is the time the Spirit would touch them, would lift up their hearts to you, that they would come and that they would be saved. We pray this in your Son's precious name. Amen. And so this morning, as we do come to the time we call invitation, I will invite you forward, but it is not me who invites, it's the Holy Spirit. He invites everyone. He invites your heart in. He invites you to say yes. He invites you to say you're good enough for Him.